welcome everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And we do that through some of the lenses that I like to use, which includes astrology and tarot and some other metaphysical and spiritual disciplines. So that's what we do on this show. And this is February 25th, 2025. And I want to welcome everybody in and invite you to join me in our private group, our chat room. And the best way to get there, if you want to join that way, is to go over to 12radio.com. And in that sidebar, you're going to see a chat button. And if you push that, it's going to redirect you to our private page over in Facebook, where you can, you know, join the people that are already there. You can also ask to join if you haven't done that. And our producer is Serena, and she will watch for you, and she'll make sure that you get into that private group if you'd like to be there. Now, of course, private just simply means that people don't see what we're posting during the show. So that's all it means. We're just interacting over there and making comments. And I do tend to go over there during the show and try to respond as I can. But those of you who know me know that, you know, I can go in multiple directions, but try not to get too down a rabbit hole with something. So, you know, I just try to stay focused on what we're talking about for the show. But I will go over there and try to greet people and say thank you. And I always go over there after the show and just look at the comments. And I so appreciate that. So if that's something you want to do, go ahead and do that. I also like to make a plug for Mark's Power Peak, which is a weekly online newsletter that you can subscribe to for free. And I highly encourage it, especially if you like this show. And that's because I write an article that literally details everything going on this week. Well, I shouldn't say everything, but you know, the highlights, what's going on astrologically, which planets are interacting with each other and what they're doing and where the moon is and all of that kind of stuff. And it's just sometimes a helpful kind of grounding place to be able to go and see what's going on a weekly basis. Plus, that Mark's Power Peak newsletter also contains a number of other articles written by people, you know, that have a metaphysical or a spiritual bend, or just, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, people that do tarot and numerology and all kinds of things, I Ching, and are just sharing their insights into the world and just offering you a view, offering you a lens from which you can see the world. And I think this week and moving forward, that's so important because we are in a Pisces extravaganza. And if you know anything about Pisces, Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. And it literally does look at the world through the lenses of all the other signs. So there's multiple things to look at. It's also a very spiritual or a very metaphysical sort of sign. It's a dual sign. It has one foot in the world and one foot in its own personal world, which includes, you know, intuition and any number of other things, imagination, creativity. So this week, there are lots of lenses, and we're going to continue to kind of pick and choose or see the world in various ways as that Pisces energy influences us. And I was just thinking, in fact, this morning that when we've got a lot of Pisces energy, which is a water sign, and often we see it as represented by the ocean, you know, it's almost like all bets are off once you step off the shore and move into the ocean. You know, there's a whole other way of being. Our bodies feel different. You know, the differential of, you know, it's not the same as like running on the shore, running in the water. It's a whole new element. And so we do adapt, and obviously we do things. We sail, we swim, we do all kinds of things. But you know what? If you're trying to use the rules of gravity and the rules of being on the shore, well, you know what happens. It can be very confusing. And it's a medium in which you have to work cooperatively with it. You have to understand it as much as you can, but also know that it is so changing. There's always going to be that rogue wave. There might be a riptide. There's any number of things that you just have to go with the flow when we're talking about the ocean or if we're talking about Pisces. So on today's show, we're going to talk a lot about Pisces. We're going to talk about the highlights for this week, which includes a new moon in Pisces on Thursday. And we're also going to start getting into Venus retrograde in Aries. Venus is the planet of love, but more than that, the planet of our values, what we think is important, what we want to attract in our lives, what we find attractive. And that planet is going to move retrograde, meaning that metaphorically, it's going to look to us like it's moving backwards in the sky. So we're going to talk a lot about Pisces through that new moon. Then we're also going to talk about Venus retrograde. And as usual, I'm pretty sure we're going to continue to talk about these topics for at least another month. So I will do my best to stay focused. But here again, I'll tell you sometimes, you know, when people say, do you really feel the moon or do you really feel this, that, or the other things? I can honestly say, you know, not so much. I mean, I've got a lot of air in my chart and air is very mental. So I'm almost always looking through a lens that is thinking, you know, a rational mind. But I also have a Pisces sun. And I just have a lot of things in my chart that are very intuitive. And so I feel like I know firsthand what it's like to try to balance those two things, intuition and the rational mind. But I can tell you over the last week, maybe even longer, I really do feel like I've stepped off the shore and into the ocean because it's sort of like, hey, wait a minute, you know, discipline or organization or, hey, I wanted to go over here. And all of a sudden, my usual strategies aren't working quite so well. So I'm feeling very much this inrush of how much Pisces we've got in the cosmos right now. And here again, remember, these planets, they don't do anything. They just represent mass consciousness because this is the lens, this is the discipline that I choose to look through. So when I use astrology, it does help me understand things because I'm looking through its lens. You may or may not look through that lens. But if you're here today, or if you're listening to this through the archives of 1-2 Radio, I suspect that you're kind of into this too. So when I say this is an extravaganza, what we're talking about is of all those planets that we look at in a chart at any given time, the Sun, Mercury, Saturn, Neptune, and the North Node of the Moon. The North Node is a mathematical calculation, but we use it in astrology. They are all hanging out in the constellation of Pisces, meaning that where they are in the sky right now is basically intermixed with that particular constellation. If you're looking for those planets, they're all hanging out there together in the constellation of Pisces. So we translate that astrologically, that they're taking on that influence of Pisces. And of course, what happens is this Thursday, February 27th, the moon will be there too. Now remember, the moon is only in a sign for 2.5 days, but it moves into Pisces and there's a new moon, meaning there's a new cycle because the moon comes together with the sun and it creates a new lunar cycle that lasts 29.5 days. So there again, when I say we're under this influence for a while, we're always under whatever the pattern is, the natal chart, of a new moon. What is the energy that gets set into place? So we are under that influence with the new moon on Thursday for 29.5 days. Now, also in March, there's going to be a lot of other things that just keep re-emphasizing the energy of Pisces. And one of those things, trying to give you a heads up here. Now, if you read Mark's Power Peak this last week, you know some of these things. But I'm going to go through them here, and you can always go back there and check the dates too. But we're going to have a full moon in Virgo, and that is going to be on March 13th. Now, a full moon means that the moon and the sun are in opposite signs. So the sun is still in Pisces when we have that full moon in Virgo. But you know what? That's also the first eclipse of 2025. And you know that eclipses carry special energy. That will be a lunar eclipse that brings together the energies of Pisces and Virgo. Now, here's another thing I want you to pay attention to, especially if you have Pisces energy. Maybe you've got a sun. Maybe you were born at the end of the Pisces energy, you know, in your particular year. But Neptune is the modern ruler of Pisces, and it has been transiting through Pisces. It's been going through Pisces since April of 2011. That's how long it's been there. And it's going to move on March 30th. It's actually going to leave Pisces, and it's going to go into Aries. Now, see, Neptune is one of those planets that's pretty far from the sun, so it doesn't change signs very often. So as you can imagine, this is pretty important as it kind of wraps up its transit through Pisces. But of course, it's going to retrograde this year. And so in late October, in a retrograde pattern, Neptune, it's going to return to Pisces. So we're not going to have, you know, after March 30th, we're not going to have Neptune in Aries all year, but pretty close. But those last few months, it's going to go back into Pisces. But then it's going to be in Aries for real in January of 2026. But one of the reasons I'm mentioning this is because the sun, which goes through every single sign, every degree of the zodiac every year, it meets up with Neptune every year, right? And so it's going to meet up with Neptune at 29 Pisces on March 19th. But this is going to be the last time the Sun and Neptune meet up in Pisces for a very long time. It's going to be like 164 years before it happens again. So that's why I'm saying, if you're one of those people, if you've got a lot of Pisces energy, even if you have planets or house cusps at 29 degrees, this could be pretty special for you. That's March 19th. There's any number of ways that that could manifest or become an important date or become an important energy for you. So there again, that's another date that I'm going to be watching for in March. And here again, I'm going to highlight just a couple more things, and that is that Venus and Mercury are all hanging out pretty close in this vicinity. Mercury, or actually Venus, has already transited through Pisces. It's now in Aries. And Mercury is currently in Pisces, but it's going to enter Aries next week on Monday. That's March 3rd. But guess what's going to happen? How intuitive are you? Both planets are going to retrograde in March. They're metaphorically turning around. And Venus will do that on March 1st, which is this coming Saturday. And Mercury is going to retrograde on March 14th. And you know what happens? Both of them will retrograde out of Aries and go back into Pisces, where they're going to spend at least part of their retrograde cycles before moving back into Aries. So see, once again, it's almost like Pisces, I don't want to say has a hook in us, but Pisces is trying to, you know, if I can personify it, it's like we're really trying to make sure that we get this Pisces energy. Neptune, the ruler, is going, I just want to make sure you're really getting this before I move on to Aries. Venus and Mercury saying, we want to help you. We want to make sure you're really getting this energy, that you're processing through some of these issues. But there again, one thing I want to stress is don't stress. You know, sometimes you get, I get all wrapped up in this and got to do this, got to figure this out. Well, you know what? One thing about Pisces is we're not figuring anything out, because it's usually very intuitive kind of energy. So it's about dreaming, you know, watching what we're dreaming in our sleeping dreams, but also allowing ourselves to have daydreams, allowing ourselves to brainstorm, looking at the energy, the messages that are coming to us. Now, of course, we need to sort through what are simply things that are grabbing our attention versus things that we really need to pay attention to. Because, you know, here again, the Pisces story is always that journey toward and away from reality. You know, Pisces is dual. Pisces is changeable and variable. Almost all the myths about Pisces. And here again, you know, if you look through it, usually there's multiple myths that all go into the beliefs, you know. Astrology's been around for thousands of years. So you hear lots of stories, lots of mythology around each of the planets and around each of the signs. Well, the Pisces myth almost always includes sacrifice. And it's because, once again, it's the last sign of the zodiac. It's more about unity. It's about being one. You know, it's about being in the ocean, being in a collective. And so we find sacrifice often being part of the Pisces myth. You know, the person who takes care of somebody else, that ultimate caretaker, the person who is always the cheerleader. You know that song, "You're the wind beneath my wings." Well, Pisces is the one that is the wind underneath somebody's wings. That's the kind of energy that it is. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to sacrifice at this time. Maybe what we need to do is look at the way we're sacrificing. And are we doing it willingly? Or do we feel like we have to do this? We deserve to do this. So once again, I'm throwing out some ideas and almost like little, you know, life rafts or something. And whatever appeals to you, whatever kind of go, hey, I want to look more at that. I want to think about that. Then let that be. So don't stress. This isn't about stress. This is about swimming in that ocean of intuition, creativity, and imagination. Now, often myths around Pisces also have to do with the relationship between children and their mothers. So think about that too. So here again, you know, when things come up, maybe those are some of the things that are going to come up for you. Now, I think there's very few people living on the planet that don't have something about mother. But, you know, there might be something that comes up, something that you remember, something that comes to you in a dream. Or maybe this is the time you're particularly processing something about mother issues, either being a mother or your own mother. It's also something, a word that will continually come up is boundaries, because guess what? The ocean has few boundaries. Now, of course, I know they do. You know, they start and they end. But when you think about water, water always needs a container. And even if you think about rivers and oceans, etc., they change their boundaries all the time. And that's true of Pisces too. If you're not conscious of your boundaries, then it's going to get very blurred. But another thing that we don't talk about often, and we should talk about a whole lot more, is the idea, one of the strengths of Pisces is believing. That rich imagination of Pisces believes. They have faith. They're willing to believe in the magic, in the impossible. And that's something we can grab on to. So here again, I often talk about Pisces as being the mermaid, having a foot in two different worlds. So that might be something that's useful for you at this time, especially if you feel like, you know, you're losing your balance or something's going on. You know, are you the mermaid and you need to dive into the ocean, go into your inner world, go into your imagination and your creativity? Or do you need to kind of come out on land and dry off a little bit? You know, do you need to regain some balance? So that's something that you can think about. Now, I'm going to offer this too, and I'm sure I have mentioned it before, but there's a famous, I think they call it an allegory, you know, written by Plato. And the story goes that there are prisoners that are sitting in a cave. And they are chained to their chairs or to their positions, and they're staring at the back of the cave wall. So behind them is the opening of the cave, where of course, where the sunshine is. And there are people moving back and forth on a path in front of the cave. And of course, life is going on out there, right? But these people, their only vision, their only sense of what reality is what they're seeing as shadows being cast on the wall of the cave. So it doesn't take long for them to begin to believe, or maybe they've always been there. You know, who knows what the situation is? I don't remember all the details. But the point is, their whole reality is the shadows. That's all they know. That's their perception. That's their experience. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say we shouldn't trust our experience, but we need to be open to the idea that our experience can teach us the wrong thing. I mean, after all, our experience tells us that the world is flat. But you know what? By all indications, it's not. But our experience is. We don't walk around every day being afraid that we're going to fall off the planet, right? So that's our experience. But maybe our experience is not all there is. So going back to Plato's allegory, somebody either escapes or is let go. I don't know why. But somebody goes out and understands and says, oh my God, there's a whole world out here. We're not even seeing the reality. That those shadows on the cave wall are just a small glimpse of what's really going on. So they go back into the cave with the message. And you know, how often do we see this? I mean, think how this applies to our life. Somebody comes in and they go, hey guys, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. There's something else. There's another way to look at this. When, of course, in Plato's allegory, they kill that person. And of course, I think that's really his way of talking about Socrates. And so in any case, you know, who had to drink, you know, the hemlock because he was spreading rumors or spreading things that nobody wanted him to, you know, him to talk about. There again, story for another day. But the idea is that our experience isn't everything there is. And when there's a lot of Pisces energy, maybe that's true that we're hearing these stories. Maybe this isn't all there is. Maybe we're looking at shadows. Maybe we're only looking at our own experience. Are we open to considering something else? Because Pisces is a story of altered states of consciousness, reality and altered states of consciousness. And how do they play? What's the mix there? So I'm going to wrap this up by talking about the new moon in Pisces. But I want you to just think about the idea, especially this month, like even me. Sometimes I'm going, okay, how did I get off on this track? You know, Pisces energy, we're in the ocean. It's sometimes hard to go from point A to point B because we're in this place of imagination. We're under the influence, so to speak. So if that's a place that feels really uncomfortable to you, make sure that you're thinking about or working with boundaries. What do those look like? If you know that you can never tell your best friend, no, I can't go to lunch, I need to be working today, then, you know, what do you do about that? Do you just text her quickly or him and say, hey, I can't do this? Where are your boundaries? And if, you know, and there again, don't judge yourself. If, you know, if things keep happening and you go, boy, my boundaries aren't good, well, then keep working on them. And let your boundaries be flexible and permeable, because maybe that's the way they're meant to be. But if you're feeling like you're kind of in this confused state this month, you certainly are not alone. So moving on to that new moon in Pisces, you know, one of my favorite people that talk about moons is Raven Caldera, who is into moon phase astrology. He calls the new moon in Pisces the dreamer. And of course, isn't that just perfect? So here again, when he's talking about the dreamer, he's literally talking about the moment of the new moon. But, you know, when we're under that kind of influence, once again, as to be expected, we've got our own inner world and we're not sure we want to leave it. We may have a difficult time articulating our thoughts and feelings. So there again, that's something that happens. You know, maybe you want to write a song. Maybe you want to write a poem. Maybe words are hard to find during this particular lunar cycle. Or that we find that, you know, we just kind of get caught up in stuff. Maybe we prefer our inner world, or maybe we're struggling because we think there's a perfect balance between that inner world. Maybe we find that we get into situations where we want to escape. And I laugh because I find myself that way a lot. I just want to check out. I'm not sure how to deal with something, or it feels really difficult and I just want to withdraw. You know, I just want to slip away, you know, and sometimes I can shake my head and smile and be a million miles away. But in any case, remember that that's the dreamer. The dreamer has a very rich imagination and inner world, but it's trouble with personal boundaries. That's not a natural thing. But here's another thing I think about with a moon in Pisces, especially this new moon, is we have lots of dreams, but we don't necessarily act on them because this isn't the time so much of action. And here again, I'm talking about the days right around that new moon. But if we have dreams, I mean, if we kind of stay in that state and we have dreams and we have ideas and we never act on them, guess what? Somebody else probably will. So that's something to think about. Do you just want to be the idea generator, or do you want to actually do something about some of those ideas? And if you do, then maybe you write them down. Maybe you just, you know, make sure that you can come back to them for, you know, another time. And truthfully, we're going to have a lot of help with just that idea, because during this new moon, Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, connecting the dots. Well, Mercury's in Pisces too. And quite honestly, you know, this is a place when Mercury is not maybe at its articulate best, but it may be at its creative best. But fortunately, Mercury during this new moon is sitting right next door to Saturn. Saturn is that planet of commitment, the planet of organization and discipline. But Mercury is also sitting next to Neptune, which is kind of dissolving our, you know, our best intentions and dissolving the discipline. So it's an interesting juxtaposition to have all three of those together. But I do think it will help, because I think, you know, as Mercury joins with Saturn, I think there again, maybe we're just jotting down ideas, or maybe we're, you know, in these daydreams or in these whatever, we're just, you know, maybe we're just, you know, with colored pencils and pens and just putting all the ideas on paper. They don't have to make logical sense. You don't have to diagram them in English or another language. You just put them down. Maybe you just have a bunch of balloons and how does this fit with this, etc. So having Mercury next to Saturn can be really, really helpful. Having it next to Neptune means that it's a very rich time for imagination. I mean, literally, I can't say this enough. Intuition is literally off the charts right now. Now, another thing, Mercury is also really close to the north node of the moon. And to me, the north node is destiny. It's our soul calling us to something. So there again, what are the messages that you're hearing? Is there something that's a repeating message? Or is there something that you just, you know, you have a dream about something and you go, yeah, that would be really cool. I want to look into that. The other thing Mercury is doing during this new moon is it's making a connection to Uranus, which is revolution, being a rebel, breaking through limitations. So here again, maybe it's that we've had an idea, maybe something very creative that's caught our attention and we've never taken an action on it. Well, maybe Uranus, after the fact, is going to really help us with that. Go break through all the limitations and the reasons that you keep telling yourself that that can't happen. So interesting energy and with Mercury during this particular new moon. And so remember, really, intuition is high, creativity is high, dreaming, imagination, all of that, spirituality, being involved in metaphysical, spiritual pursuits, alternative thinking, alternative healing modalities are really big with Pisces. We're very, very sensitive to things coming in, to the interaction with our environment. You know, so it's okay to be picky about what you're exposing yourself to. And I would say during this month, work with appropriate boundaries. That's something that would be really good to do. And especially because here's one other thing going on. During this new moon, the sun and moon are squaring Jupiter. Jupiter's expansion. And it's in Gemini, another mutable sign like Pisces. But Gemini's the one with all the ideas. Here, come look at here. Look at this bright, shiny thing. Check out this. So those are really fun, wonderful energies. But what happens is it distracts us. We have to be careful. Are we going in so many directions? Like I said, have your colored pens. Have your white paper. You don't have to make sense of it. Maybe you just need to jot all this stuff down so you can come back to it later. Because another thing that's going on is that Mars during this week is in a positive trine to Saturn. So there again, Mars, the planet of energy, which just finished a retrograde cycle, What is it doing? It's reaching out to Saturn and saying, hey, I need some help with discipline. I need some help with organization. So Mars is telling us, take action. Do something. I'm not retrograde anymore. Let's go for it. If we want to move, but what I think when I see that Mars, and I think there will be some urgency there, some urgency to finally act on something that we haven't acted on. Now, I'm not telling you not to do it. But as I see both Mercury and Venus, you know, imminently moving into retrograde cycles, the thing I'm asking myself is any action better than no action? Now, I can't answer that question, but I can say I would rather move in a direction that I really want to move rather than just jump off the cliff. Just go ahead and do some action just because I need to do it. Now, sometimes though, we need to get the engine running. Maybe we do need to start driving the car in order to drive it in a direction we want to go. As you know, it's really hard to turn the wheel in a car that isn't moving. But that whole idea of Mars, I mean, I'm kind of playing with that because once again, I don't want to tell you this is not the time to take action. But I am telling you, this is a time when you're going to feel the urgency of it. You're going to go, finally, I need to move. I need to do something. But I would say with this Venus retrograde, which is, it's telling us this is a period of 6 weeks of reevaluating our priorities. So if you're going to take a big action, make sure that you're kind of aligning that you're thinking about that. Are you spending time reevaluating your priorities? Because moving in any direction may not be where you ultimately want to be. But on the other hand, I'm going to say, I don't really think there are mistakes. Now, I know there's a few things, boy, I could sure take those back if I could. But we really are a compilation of everything that has ever happened to us. And a lot of times, some of the most wonderful lessons that we can learn are when we've taken a detour. So also don't stress about that either. Don't be afraid and say, oh, I can't take a step because I might make a mistake. But I'm simply saying, you know what? This might be a time where we feel urgently or urgency about taking action. But as we move into this Venus retrograde, which is going to be Saturday, March 1st, through April 12th, this is a time of reevaluation. This is a time to really look beyond superficial appearances and to seek a greater understanding and meaning about the issues and ideas that are associated with Venus. So here again, it's the 1st through the 12th. And during part of that time on March 27th is when Venus is going to re-enter Pisces. So, you know, we're going to have this combination, this juxtaposition of Pisces and Aries. So let's talk a little bit about that. Here's the basics. And here again, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this for a while. And, you know, if you have a question, you can certainly post that over on our private page on Facebook. I'm going to go over there and look right now and see if I can get that up. Sometimes I'm a little slow, but yeah. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming in. James and Pamela and Leslie. Oh, and I see a nice picture of the fishes. And Renee, thank you for being here today. And Quelly, it's good to see everybody. Thanks. I don't see any particular questions, but thank you. And thank you for the graphics. They're all sweet. Love that. She posted a graphic of fish kind of chasing each other's tails. That's very much a Pisces thing. Are we going up or are we going down? Which direction? But we're tied together. Okay. So the basics of the Venus retrograde, it does happen over a 6 week period, even though we actually have time to then incorporate whatever the lessons are afterwards. And it really does deserve our attention for multiple reasons. But one, remember, Venus doesn't retrograde every year. Like many of the planets that do that, and we go, yeah, retrograde again for 4 or 5 months. That's not true of Venus. Venus is one of two planets, Mars is the other one, that doesn't retrograde every year. She does it about every 18 months for 6 weeks at a time. And also the fact that she's doing it this year, 2025, in which we have a lot of major change with those outer planets moving from water to fire or from Earth to air. So you know what? I think as Mercury and Venus do these retrogrades, especially right now, they're really kind of introducing us, or they're trying to get us used to the water. They're saying, come on out, this is going to be okay. You know, it's going to be okay to step out of water and into fire. They're helping us out with that. So when you think of Venus, and I know it's simplest just to say, oh, it's about love and money. You know, and that's true. But if you want to go a little bit deeper, get a little more information in there, Venus is a planet that is associated with, she rules Taurus and Libra. So if you know anything about Taurus and Libra issues, those are the ones that we're likely to be thinking about, to be struggling with. And, you know, it's not like all of them are going to come up for you, but these are some of the things that are closest to our hearts. Venus, I mean, what she's about. And she's about love and romance and partnership, attractiveness, who we find attractive, how we see ourselves as being attractive. So are we going to have kind of this crisis of thinking we're unattractive, or just wanting to do something different, change our hair, change our wardrobe, or, you know, or finding more self-love? It's about finances and resources with Taurus. Because what does Taurus want? Taurus wants stability and security, wants to build something for the future. This is especially financial. And Taurus is one of the signs that really instills in us a desire for work or productive activity that is in alignment with our values. Venus is the planet of values. But you know what I'd introduce, and this is an idea that I think is important. Do we consider infusing our values into our work? And what I mean by that is, more often than not, I hear people say, I'm just in the wrong profession, and I want something in alignment with me. You know, I want the perfect job, or I want the job that aligns with me. Well, have you ever stopped to think, maybe you're in the perfect position, at least for now, and that it's your values you need to infuse in your work? You don't stop being you because you don't think you're in the perfect job. Now, that being said, this is a time when a lot of people probably will be looking at their work. They will be looking at their jobs. And there is no reason to stay in a job that you really don't like, or that you feel like you're not being appreciated. It's not moving your life forward. I am not telling you to stay in a job you don't like. But what I'm telling you is, if you're, it's kind of like, don't wait to be your best self for the perfect house, the perfect mate, the perfect job, the perfect whatever. You can be your best self right now. Whatever your values are, you can bring those to your relationship. You can bring those to your job or your work. So as you're looking for something else that's going to be in more alignment with who you are and what you want to do, which I'm also convinced there are so many different things that we can do. You know, we have talents. And there again, so go back more to the basic talents. You know, like a manager can work in many, 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 many different fields. It doesn't have to be one particular field, because the person's skills are as a leader, a manager, being able to bring out the best in people. So if you say, I'm a manager, but I have to work at, you know, whatever, you know, in a restaurant, or I'm a manager and I have to work in, you know, public service, whatever. You see, we get really into the details. When I think this is a time with Venus, as we're reconsidering all this, the important thing is your value. Just like, for instance, when you think about Venus retrograde too, one of the things we might start doing is going, what do I want? What do I want to attract into my life? I want a new job, or I want a new outfit. I want a new car. I want this, this, and this. Well, is that really what you want? If you could pull that out a little bit, is it that you want peace of mind? You want to be happy? You want to feel more relaxed? You want to feel like you're in alignment with your purpose? Well, if you continually look for the specific manifestations of what you want, then maybe you're missing the overall big picture. Because guess what? There might be 10 different cars. that are going to fit the bill. Or there might be 20,000 homes or jobs or whatever. Now, and I know, I mean, this isn't new, but how often, I mean, I find myself doing that. I'm going to be happy if I have a particular thing for lunch, or I'm going to be happy if I have a very specific thing that I think I'm looking for, a particular, you know, blouse or dress or shoes or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think when you say, hey, I just, you know, being really attracted to red right now and I want something red, that's fine. But during a retrograde, when we're asked to be more thoughtful, we're asked to kind of pull it out a little bit, I'm asking you to do that same thing. Because the more that you can kind of get into what is it you really want. And I would say that what most of us really want is we want peace of mind. We want to feel good with our lives no matter what's happening around us. We don't want to be bounced around by all the news stories, or we don't want to be bounced around. You know, we don't want to feel that we're victims of circumstance. So, you know, the more you focus on what it is you really want, then the more specific manifestations you can attract into your life. So once again, it's almost, you know, we've all been around little children. We've all been children, right? And you know how sometimes they get really stuck. I have to have the red lollipop. And then they cry, you know, or get all bent out of shape if they can't have the red lollipop. Whereas something else may actually fit the bill better than the red lollipop. But like the people in the cave, all they know is the red lollipop. They don't understand there might be something so much better. So once again, no stress here, but as Venus moves retrograde and we turn inward, maybe we can start thinking about what are the things that we really want. And here again, I know we kind of got off the list of what is Venus associated with? She's associated with beauty and artistry, creativity. Those are more the Libra, you know, moving into Libra, culture, charm, sexuality, fertility. So there again, you know, for some of you, fertility may be what's really on your mind or your issue. Do I want to have a child? What is this going to look like? Venus is associated with pleasure. And there again, pleasure in many, many forms. Enjoying the finer things in life. I think that's both a Libra and a Taurus thing. Being part of a partnership or a peer group. Having friends. Having a social life. So you see, a Venus retrograde, when we say love and money, that's an easy way to refer to it. But there's so many other little manifestations, places in our lives where it can come out. So there again, you don't even have to say that you have to identify it with, oh, this has got to be a Libra thing or it's got to be a Taurus thing. No, you don't. But you know what? Just pay attention to what feels like it needs a deeper look in your life. You know, what are those things? Maybe you are having an issue with a friendship, or maybe you really do want to redesign the relationship that you have with a significant other. You know, is it unbalanced? Libra likes balance. You know, is it unbalanced? Is there something not quite right there? Are, you know, maybe we're looking at our financial behavior and our habits. We're looking at not only how we earn money, how money comes into our lives, but how we're handling it, how we're spending it, or maybe how we're saving it, how we're treating it. Do we treat it with respect? Now, a couple other things you might want to think about is, yes, Venus is in charge of, or she rules, Taurus and Libra. But right now, what are the signs that she's activating? She is in Aries and moving back to Pisces. So it's those themes that often start coming up too. So Pisces themes includes what we've talked about, sacrifice, a focus on shared interest, a focus on values that are associated with spiritual principles like unity, peace of mind, compassion, generosity, kindness, generally looking out for the other guy. Now, in contrast, Aries is, you know, once we've been in this kind of cosmic soup of Pisces, think about it, it's always about everybody else. It's always about the, you know, the unity of something. Well, Aries says, hey, wait a minute, I need to differentiate. I need to be independent. I want to take care of myself. I have a need for adventure and challenge. I want to feel courageous. I want to feel brave. See, that's the energy of Aries, which, by the way, is ruled by Mars, which is now moving forward. So what ends up happening is we may lose ourselves somewhat into this Piscean thing. And here again, you know, maybe what we do is in this going back and forth is, like, for instance, I may have told you this. Somebody told me several months ago, and quite honestly, I was quite shocked. She was talking about something, and she said, well, maybe what we need more of is greed. And I was kind of like waiting for the punchline because I thought, what? I mean, and then I realized she was being serious. And to me, that was kind of shocking because some of what we had just been talking about was actually the negative manifestations of somebody in her life being really greedy. But I think at that moment, maybe in a moment of hurt, she was thinking, well, I'm going to be equally greedy and I'm going to be even more greedy. And if I'd been more greedy, this would not have happened. So, but the point is, we get into this Pisces energy where, like I said, in some ways, we're always looking out for the other guy. We're looking at how can I be of service? Maybe we naturally fall into a place of sacrifice. Well, the Aries energy, which naturally follows Pisces, is going, wait a minute, pull yourself back out. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know what your passions, your desires, your needs are. So Aries has a need to differentiate and to be independent. Like I said, to put themselves in situations that are adventurous, that are challenging, so that they can feel that surge of passion, you know, feel that surge of bravery or courage. We only feel it when we put ourselves in those situations. So as you can imagine, these energies are very different, but we're going to play with both of them with Venus being retrograde. And by the way, we're not going to talk about this today, but I'm thinking this Venus retrograde is going to be very, very important for our commitments. Because, and when I say commitments, you know, relationships with our homes, with our cars, with our spouses, with our friends, with our families, whatever it is, intimate relationships. And why? Because Venus, because of this retrograde, meets up with the planet Saturn three times. She's already met up with Saturn once on January 18th. It's going to happen again in Pisces on April 7th. And it's going to happen before she leaves Pisces for the final time on April 24th. So when I see Saturn and Venus, I mean, quite honestly, if you look at traditional views of Venus and Saturn, sometimes they're not so positive. You know, it's about, you know, you'll hear those words like not having good balance in relationship and being overly serious and cautious when it comes to commitment. You know, I mean, there's definitely some things, low self-esteem, you know, believing that somebody else is always better than us. We have all those. But on the positive side, I love Saturn and Venus together, because it means loyalty and sincerity and practicality, keeping our promises, being disciplined about what we say we love, cultured appreciation for art and what's beautiful. And people that are born with Venus and Saturn, or when we're under this influence, we may really take artistic talent and know what to do with it. We're developing it. We're not being that Pisces going, I've got a great idea. We're doing something about it. We're taking some action. We're putting it into form. So truthfully, I really like Venus and Saturn together, even though I can appreciate the more negative, the more pessimistic view of these two planets coming together. But see, I think it means that we're going to be being serious about our commitments, our relationships, our agreements, our promises. And we're going to be renegotiating some of these. But if we're smart, if we're on the ball, we're going to be renegotiating them in a way that's going to be very positive. You know, in a way that's going to be better for everybody involved. So I want to throw that out there. We'll be talking a little bit more about that as that happens. And also, I want to talk a whole lot more about Venus retrograde, but I realize, you know, we're not going to get through the next part of what I want to talk to you about. So we'll do that next week. But for now, I'm going to throw out the idea. This is the introduction to it, that the Venus retrograde, and like I said, it's not going to actually start till Saturday. So when we talk next Tuesday, it's in plenty of time, right? We got 6 weeks. But this Venus retrograde is going to be a lot about dilemmas and choices and decisions. We're going to be really considering some of those. Like, we're at a fork in the road. Almost all of us, I think that's how it's going to manifest. And, you know, we've talked about the different ways that Venus actually manifests in the world. So for some people, it might be a personal relationship. Others, it could be a relationship with a friend or with family, etc. It could be about that job. It could be about the kind of work we do, our productivity. It could be about a whole lot of things. But I just want you to know that if you feel like you're at a fork in the road, that you feel like, yeah, I've kind of reached this point and I'm not sure where I'm going next. But more than that, maybe I'm not sure even where I want to go next. That this Venus retrograde, I think that's going to be a key concept, is dealing with choices and decisions. And once again, I would offer you that idea that even though taking action is what we want to do, and if that is what's, you know for yourself, if this is the time to take action. But if it's not, then kind of sit in this energy and recognize that it is a fork in the road and that you're going to have time to figure it out. Okay? And so then next week, we're going to talk a whole lot more about Venus retrograde and about those forks, you know, about those choices and how to kind of sit with indecision. Because, by the way, you may know that Libra is famous for indecision. Libra wants to look at both sides carefully, doesn't want to make a wrong decision, doesn't want to make the wrong choice. So, of course, when Venus goes retrograde, the ruler of Libra, what do you think happens? We are taking those decisions a lot more seriously. Maybe we're even a little bit more afraid of making the bad choice, but we're going to have some time. So once again, as she starts going retrograde and you're thinking through some of this stuff, don't get worried. We're going to figure it out. But if you're feeling like there's an important choice in front of you, guess what? You're tuning in to Venus being retrograde. So let's talk a lot more about that next week. So let's just, we'll close the show for now. And I will keep all these notes and add to them in the way that I do for next week. But I just want to wrap it up and say thank you so much for joining me. To everybody in the chat room, thanks for being here today. And I will go back over there and make sure that I refresh and see everybody that joined us and wrote something today. Thanks to all the listeners, whether you're listening live or maybe you're listening to this in the archives. You know, there's about 6 months of shows in the archives over at 12radio.com. And that's not just me. It's all the shows here on 12radio. So if you miss something, go back and listen to it. You know, that's often how I listen to a few of the shows that are at a time when I really can't listen live. I just go back and I grab them and listen to them. And it's really wonderful to be able to do that. So thanks for joining me. Thanks to Serena, who is our producer today. And I would say, please stay tuned for Empowerment, which is up next with Kelly Whetstone. Always an empowering show. I mean, she's one of those people, I feel like she named her show perfectly because that's everything that she's about. The only other word that she could have put in her title is boundaries. I always associate her with great boundaries. She knows a lot about them in her metaphysical studies and in her private practice. You know, she's a boundary person. So if you need help with boundaries, Kelly Whetstone might be the advisor you're looking for. And speaking about advisors, you can find me on 12listen.com. And if I'm not available, just put in a request for a callback. And if I am available, if I'm doing something and I can stop that and get online, I certainly will do it. And you can also request scheduled call at a time that's really good for you. So don't hesitate. Do that. So this is CA signing out. Thanks for joining me today. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with CA Brooks on 12radio, where right now we're changing the way we're listening to Pisces and to the Venus retrograde pattern.